Hello and welcome to another There Giants podcast. I am Roger Munter, and it is frankly a little wet and cold and dreary outside my window right now, so I need a ray of Arizona sunshine to lighten things up, and I have the perfect sunshine. SF Chronicles great beat writer Susan Slusser is joining me from Arizona to talk Giants camp. Susan, thanks so much for taking a little time to chat baseball. How are things going for you?
It's good. It sounds like it's a lot warmer, and it's certainly much, much drier here. So I would like a happy medium somewhere between what you guys are having and maybe some of this dry air here, but it's probably still better off here, I guess.
We've had about 3 days of rain, yes. So we're getting good and moist here. I'm ready for some dry air myself. I know you're having fun because I live vicariously through your tweets of the shows you go to see at clubs, and always makes me think, boy, I just haven't been to clubs near enough lately. So it's good to see you having fun out there.
Oh yeah, that's I've got my priorities, but baseball's in there somewhere, but the music probably comes first.
Those are the right priorities, I have to say. I used to be a like 4 times a week guy, and that seems to have slipped behind me. But I'll see what I can do this year. I'll make it a New Year's resolution.
Excellent.
Anyway, we are here to talk baseball and not your fantastic music tastes. Before we get to the Giants, you guys, I'll do ask you a process question. You have a new colleague on the beat on the Chronicle. Shana Rubin is coming across the bay, which is fantastic. We always enjoy more good journalists on the beat. How's that gonna work out for your team's coverage of the Giants? Is anything gonna change in sort of how you're doing your work, or are you just gonna have more colleagues to join in?
Yeah, I mean, we used to have four baseball writers, if you'll recall, at one point when before Henry Schulman retired, Henry was there. Matt Kawahara was also part of our baseball coverage. And then when we lost Matt Kawahara last year to the Houston Chronicle, where he's covering the Astros, it was just me and John Shea. So I think it had been a while coming, adding a third baseball writer. And we're just thrilled to have Shayna. She's covered the A's, she covered the Warriors for the Mercury News. She does a terrific job. She's from San Francisco. She's a baseball person at heart, like our boss, Christina Carl, the Chronicle sports editor, who has a long, long history with baseball and baseball coverage. So we're only getting better and providing even more for our readers. Essentially it's sort of sharing the beat, and then I can get freed up to do a few other things. I went to the Dodgers yesterday. They had a night game. I'll probably do something about the Dodgers Shohei at some point. I'm at the A's today, talking about some of their craziness, and I'm going with them to Vegas and their little Vegas trip. So
Oh,
I'll
nice.
be following the news a little bit more than just the Giants, but mostly Giants still, and still in always.
Well, it's like building a roster, right? You can't have too much talent. So we're very happy to have Shana come aboard. I'll go to the A's connection since both of you have sort of A's roots. What's it been like for you to get to work with Bob Melvin again? You obviously have a long relationship with him.
Well, it's funny because I covered Bob for, gosh, almost 12 years in Oakland, 11, 12 years, something like that. And I had known him for a very long time before that. Of course, he's a dream to cover. I mean, nobody's got better skills dealing with the media and with a clubhouse and with front offices. I mean, he's just kind of the ultimate emotional, intelligent, just kind of gets it kind of person. One of the people kept asking me when I moved over after 23 years on the A's to the Giants what the biggest difference was. And honestly, ballparks aside, the biggest difference was going from Bob Melvin to Gabe Kapler. And I actually really enjoyed covering Gabe because he was just so completely different from all the old school managers, and really very interesting, different perspectives on things. That said, having Bob Melvin come in after Gabe Kapler, and it's just, he makes everything just so easy. He is like the consummate communicator. You hear it from players, you hear it from staff, even from us. He's really, he's such a professional in every way, and that's great. Again, I really liked Gabe Kapler, but this is different, and it's a different vibe. There's no doubt about it.
I didn't even think about that. You had sort of Melvin to Kapler and back again,
A little
directly in
whiplash.
order, sort of a, well, I mean, from a From a baseball perspective, how is that? How do you see those changes in the camp, in the way guys are going about their business, and the way guys are treated? What's the sort of baseball ramifications of this culture change that the Giants have undergone?
Well, the first thing that was most notable is that all the players in camp are all in the main clubhouse instead of the non-roster guys all being in the old auxiliary clubhouse, which was used during the pandemic season. Big, huge, kind of like cavern downstairs and separated from like the guys on the 40-man roster. Everybody's in the same clubhouse, and I kind of like that. It's a little more crowded. I'm not sure. There might be a few veterans who are like, come on, I don't get my usual like two empty lockers on either side of me. I don't know if guys really need that. I think it's really, really kind of cool to have everybody in one spot. So I think there is kind of a sense of a little bit more sense of camaraderie. I don't think that was lacking in previous years, but I do think that like that's been an emphasis. I don't know if there is much baseball-wise, that's different, except maybe how some of the pitchers are going to be handled. They've been Brian Price and Bob Melvin have both been pretty clear. They would like to see guys go deeper into games. I suspect we will see fewer openers, and probably not this the whole piggybacking kind of thing. I think that's going away to some extent. And the front office too has talked about hopefully fewer platoons and more everyday players. And that's something that Bob Melvin, he's done both with Oakland and then of course with San Diego. That was a much more sort of established everyday lineup. Every manager will tell you they would love to have an everyday lineup that they can just run out there all the time. We might see a little bit more of that this year. And of course, he's got Matt Chapman back now. He really fought hard for Matt Chapman, and I found that interesting. My colleague Ann Killian wrote a whole piece about, well, this kind of shows that Bob Melvin really does have power in the organization, which is nice to see. And I don't think she's necessarily wrong. I think Bob would probably downplay like, well, that wasn't me. There were a lot of people that wanted him, which of course is true. But I think that was a nod at least in to their past, and their good working relationship. And that should be exciting, I think, for A's fans that the team brought in a player that was important to the manager, and the manager feels strongly enough as an addition to fight for him.
You mentioned the philosophical difference related to pitching. That's one of the things I've been kind of most fascinated to see how that ripples through the organization, because going to all the minor league games as I did last year, you could very much see how the philosophy of Gabe Kapler and Andrew Bailey was filtering down through the way they trained their pitchers. There was constant tandem starting. There was kind of bullpenning. They were training guys to go kind of in that 3-4 inning burst rather than necessarily 6-7. So it's fascinating to me that you now have this shift at the major league level. The guys coming up don't have a lot of innings. I mean, Landon Roop, who we're going to talk about here, pitched 30 innings last year. It's going to be interesting to see how that transition works for them, and then how the philosophy that's now kind of at the major league level ripples back down through the organization. Are guys going to be going as short as they did last year? Are they going to start stretching them out? That's kind of one of the stories I'm really looking at. So I'll just shift to kind of the pitching side of the equation. As the staff is looking at covering innings, how do you see sort of this shaking out, because there's so few sort of established veteran guys who know you can take down a certain amount of innings?
Well, I do think that the Giants are in the running for Blake Snell. By the time you put this out, maybe they'll have him. And if not, I think they're still looking at the other starters on the market, because right now they're too thin, especially with after Tristan Beck's injury. He's going to miss at least 3 or 4 months. As we all know, Alex Cobb probably won't be back until maybe late May if they're lucky. And Robbie Ray coming off of major Tommy John, he had the full thing, including the flexor tendon mid-season, probably won't be quite, himself the rest of the season. I think they really need an extra starter. So that aside, should they go in with what, as you and I are talking here today, if they go in with this, they will be looking at guys who have not been stretched out a ton, because some of the guy, the leader in the clubhouse right now for a spot might be Mason Black. I remember a longtime coach last year at one point when some of the, Kyle Harrison came up and his innings had been restricted, and it was a pity, sort of a piggyback situation, saying like, you know what, you're supposed to train guys for the job you want them to do, not something different. Because, when Harrison came up, they basically said like, we held it limited his innings in the first half because we want him available to pitch more for us in the second half. And there was this feeling like, well, if he hasn't done that, how are you expecting him to do that now? And that, of course, that wound up to some extent to be the case. He looked pretty comfortable the times they did let him go at least six, I thought. And now we'll be seeing more of that. And I think slash hope that that philosophy changes at the lower levels too, because that is, it is an important part of training. If you want a guy to go six or seven innings, you got to let him go six or seven innings in the minors. But yeah, I would say Mason Black right now is probably the leader in the clubhouse. I'm really interested in Dalton Jeffries. Obviously, I've known Dalton for a few years, since he came up with the A's, and he's a local guy and played at Cal. He's looked really good, very much under the radar. But Sean Shelley's got a sprained elbow, like all these Keaton Wins had repeated elbow things last year, and then this year they say he's okay, but that always sets off some alarm bells. Right now, pitching's definitely a question mark. And you're right, not just right now, but how they kind of handle things going forward in the way that they're setting people up for the season.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard it for so many years now that you need to have whatever, not five starters, but eight, nine, 10 starters.
Sounds good, 10, really.
It has been notable that they are tempting fate on that score this year, and fate is apparently mad at them for it because it's striking back. But it sounds like your belief is that. While they are talking extremely confidently about trusting the internal options, they really probably are looking at the external options to help fill this out.
Absolutely. And I certainly wouldn't say that a trade could be just as possible as a signing. We certainly know they've got JD Davis available in a trade now. Joey Bart is out of options. He's available. If you package those guys up, you could probably get a pretty decent guy with some experience and who can eat some innings. I think the best course of action is to sign a big name guy like Snell, and then maybe you can get somebody really good in a trade. If you trade one of your young starters, and I specifically am talking about maybe getting in a shortstop, there's certainly been an idea that they've got some interest in somebody like Willy Adames or Ha-Seong Kim. I think they'd love to do something like that. I think if you packaged up a Keaton Wynn with some of those other guys, you might be able to get back a pretty decent shortstop in return. So, there would be a lot of good reasons, as far as I'm concerned, with signing somebody like Blake Snell. It's not my money, so I feel pretty safe in saying that they might have some other ideas.
I remember when I had you on last year, you were very, very strong on the idea of trading for Sean Murphy, which we found out later they tried heavily to do, but sadly it didn't come about. I'm extremely excited to hear that sort of Mason Black is having such a good impression on everybody. He's a favorite of mine. He is one of the guys who actually pitched a decent amount of innings last year. I think he was second highest in the organization. As he's going out there about his business, what are you hearing from the guys who are catching him, the guys who are coaching him? What kind of impression is he making with his spring?
Well, he's very polished. I think he's sort of a guy that's a little bit ahead of the curve, mature, very sharp, great talker, very friendly. He makes a strong impression anyway, just as a guy in the clubhouse. Obviously, you've talked to him, but I think it's really the quality of the stuff, and he throws strikes, he eats innings, all the things that they're looking for. I think he does. The question right now is he's not on the 40 man. That would be, the issue. Does somebody on the 40 man maybe have a leg up? I don't really see anybody jumping off the 40 man that's not already, sort of in the plans on the roster. Jelly might have had a little bit of an edge there if they decide to stretch him out, have him go back to starting, much as Melvin really, really liked the idea of him being kind of the swing man in the bullpen because he saw him last year in that role from the opposing side and really liked the looks of that. But now he's dealing with something that's probably going to sideline him for at least a couple weeks, it sounds like. So he's probably not in any opening day plans. And it's really going to be a scramble. When you look at those, you know, Carson Wisenhunt is as excellent as he is at all the talent, he's a little behind. He's just throwing two hitters, I believe, this week. So won't be in a game until maybe toward the end. A lot of other guys are a little bit, just a little bit behind. So it's not just that Mason Black's mature and throw strikes and is polished. It's also that they really don't have a lot of other obvious options right now, except for I'm going to keep pushing this Dalton Jeffries thing because I really would love to see Dalton get another chance in the big leagues very soon.
I mean, there just aren't a lot of available people. I mean, you're quite right about that. Teng's another guy who's a little behind.
He's behind. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So one guy I keep hearing people talk about is Landon Roop, who I guess is going to make his debut last night. He's another guy who I really like and have been following for a while, but he's just pitched so little, particularly in the last year. It's hard for me to wrap my head around the idea that he's a candidate to take down some early innings, unless it's in that same sort of swing role that they saw Jelly in. What sort of things are you hearing about Landon? Obviously, he brings one of the truly great pitches in the organization, which helps.
Yeah, with a curveball. Yeah, it sounds pretty special. I have yet to see him. I just keep hearing about him. But he's the guy that the catchers have been raving about. The first week they kept going like, "Wow, what do you know about this Landon Root? Like he's legit." And it's the stuff. I think the stuff is just sensational. Garvin Alston compared him to Corey Kluber to me. So he's coming. He's had a back injury that's kind of slowed his development. I can't imagine we will see him soon at the big league level, but I wouldn't rule out this year if he's putting up good numbers and he's healthy. But next year, I've got to think he's a guy who's very much in their plans for next year.
Yeah, I mean, he's also a guy who throws strikes, which any pitching coach or manager is going to appreciate that about.
Throw strikes, changes speeds. He's working on two new pitches. He's adding a four seamer, which is it's crazy. He doesn't really have one, and a cutter. They're really liking the cutter.
Oh my
So,
goodness.
yeah. Trevor McDonald's another one. I've heard a lot about him. Now his results weren't good when he's been out here in the spring, but he's very young. He's on the 40 man at a young age, which tells you something. But he's got pretty special stuff too. So these are some of the names to look for. Again, probably not necessarily this year, but next year. And that's one of the fun parts, you know, Roger, during the spring and what you do during the year, going out and looking at all the minor league things. You know, you start to get a sense of what's coming. And that's just, you know, the Giants get a little ding for their drafts and their development. The recent years, I came in 4 years ago, I was really impressed with the drafts they've had and some of the interesting ideas they've had. But also, more than that, what they've been doing in development with what they have is really, really fun. Some guys I think are really going to surprise people.
Yeah, and I mean, they're doing some of it's the good old-fashioned scouting, and some of it's the newfangled development, because they've really been having success low in the drafts almost
Yeah.
more than high. I mean,
Well,
McDonald's an
that's
11th
these two
rounder.
guys. Yeah, Roop and McDonald. They're both
Roop's
guys
a
who are
12th round.
not by round picks. That's exactly what I mean. Is that like they are really doing a nice job up and down the organization. It's not just like they're big name guys.
One other guy who I think maybe along with Dalton Jeffries is maybe in the mix just because he's healthy and throwing is Spencer Howard, who's sort of come the long way as well. A guy who was a very top prospect for the Phillies. How is he looking at this point? I know he battled shoulder issues for a while now.
Yeah, his first outing wasn't very good. He kind of got pressed into action, gave up two quick homers. So I think he's probably going to need to show a little bit more. But he is a very nice guy to have on a minor league deal. I think, like most of the guys on minor league deals, he has an out at some point, but they'll have a little bit of time to see what they've got there. Another Northern California guy, he's from
Right.
Templeton near San Luis Obispo, and very excited to be with the team. But calm, got experience, kind of been through the ringer. I think he is somebody that definitely could help them, and he could be somebody who winds up in that kind of swingman type role too. I think he has that ability.
And then the last sort of mound related thing I'll ask you is it looks like there should be a couple of bullpen spots open this year. There are a lot of arms out there. I was my eyes perked up when I saw Juan Sanchez hitting 96 with his fastball the other day. Who in the group of really, guys who have a legitimate shot at sort of opening in the pen, who is standing out to you so far?
Well, I don't know if there really is much room for additions in the pen. I really think that if they take a second lefty, that's the one area where they've got some competition. Ethan Small, Amir Garrett, those are the kind of guys they'd probably be looking there. And Eric Miller, who, as you know, has just been lights out. I was kind of surprised that Eric Miller didn't get a shot in September. Just the fact that they could only add two guys really played into that, but his numbers were terrific. So he might be the leader in the clubhouse, but Amir Garrett obviously has great stuff, wipeout slider, very tall, and has big league experience. So he's got that's going to be an interesting competition, but I don't know if there's that much competition otherwise. It's pretty set. You've got the Rodgers, you've got Camilo, you've got Ryan Walker's obviously, and
Luke
he's
Jackson.
looked just as terrific as ever, and Luke Jackson. So there's not, barring injuries, I think, they've got a pretty solid eight out there.
Yeah. So there's the swingman, whoever's going to fit that swingman person, then maybe somebody that can option up and back. Garrett, of course, has the connection with Brian Price as well. Okay, let's switch over to the shortstop position because this is another really fascinating spot in the field for this team. Can you suss out how the shortstop and the backup shortstop competition is going for so far as far as you can tell?
Can I say Tyler Fitzgerald for both? Look, Casey Schmitz had a little bit of an ankle thing, so we haven't seen him as much. We know what he can do. We know he certainly can handle the position defensively. I thought he looked fine there. He's had nothing but more time there. He's not going to be playing third anytime soon with Matt Chapman. He's a guy they could go to, and I think they'd feel good defensively. Luciano, the injuries throughout his career have delayed the development. A lot of scouts still question if he's a shortstop. Honestly, I still feel like I haven't not seen enough of Luciano to get a real sense of him. I think the offensive potential is there. I'm not convinced he's a shortstop. I'm not sure the team's convinced he's a shortstop. If they didn't have Tyro Estrada, I would love to see them give him a shot at second. Some scouts say corners, some say outfield. I don't know. The consensus really just seems to be, I don't know, maybe I don't know where he's going, but I don't think he's a shortstop. But they have suggested he has the first crack at this job. And unless they make a trade, I think that probably is going to be the case. Tyler Fitzgerald is the one who gets mentioned the most by coaches, certainly when it comes to the backup spot, because he plays center field beautifully too. I've got a big story coming out, I think in some might be up later today and probably in tomorrow's Chronicle. If not, it could be sometime in the next couple of days about Fitzgerald. He did not play center at all until last June, and he didn't have a glove. He had to borrow Brett Wisely's glove, and he didn't even take any balls on the field before he played his first game in center field because they didn't have any work on field work. They were at Texas, it was hot, no on field work. He just went straight into the game. Got the first play he had to make was the toughest one, sprinting away from the plate toward the wall, over the head to the backhand side, and he made it. And he thought, oh, I can do this. And he's like, you've seen him out there. He looks really good in center. He's still learning, but
Oh,
goodness,
yeah.
certainly he could handle it as a backup shortstop, backup outfielder type of guy. Really impressive. Plus, he's got that speed, and that would be so fun to have coming off the bench or in the lineup occasionally. But I like him at short too, and if you wind up giving him first crack at shortstop somehow, then that frees you up to do something off with the bench. We know they're very, very right-handed heavy. Maybe they could figure out a way to, Blake Sable looks like he's hurt now, but somebody like that with a left-handed bat may, maybe gets more of a chance if you went with Fitzgerald in a starting role rather than a bench role. But I definitely think he's got to be the absolute leader when it comes to that utility kind of spot.
Yeah, I mean, I've been pounding the Fitzgerald drum for a couple of years now. I think I built the
Oh.
bandwagon on that. I remember talking to him almost this time last year and saying, well, because many of his fellow infielders had been tried in center field. I'm like, Tyler, why don't they try you out in center field? I know you could play out there. And he's like, I think I could play out there too. It took a little while, but they finally got around to
Why don't
put
they
him
just
out there.
listen to us, Roger? I mean, gosh, between you and me, we've been right about everything, basically.
I mean, I don't think it would hurt Luciano to have some more reps in AAA. He had what, 2 weeks there, 3 weeks around the hamstring injury. He was only in AA for about, I don't know, maybe 10 weeks. A few more reps wouldn't hurt him, but I can see trying. It's going to be a learning curve if they go for it with him, I think.
I agree. He really just needs to stay healthy. And if anybody needed to come into this spring and stay healthy the whole spring, it was him. And he came in hurt. So
Yep.
it's really it's I would love to see more of him. I really feel like I don't have a handle on him at all. Maybe we will finally get a chance. I would love to see him come through. I think everybody knows how fond I am of Joey Bart, and I like the attitude he's had, the work ethic he's had. They gave him a good long stretch. I still think he's, I know, sorry, I'm going off on a weird tangent, but I still think he's going to be a good big league catcher. It'll probably now be with somebody else. But I think Marco is a little bit like in that the Joey Bart camp for me. Like I'm not quite sold, but I really want to be, because he's done everything that they've asked of him. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy, and I'd love to see him get that kind of shot.
Well, I mean, it's a current concern, right? Because you can't, there's only so many big hitting prospects you can miss on before you start asking questions about why that's happening. So
Yeah.
you don't want to have too long of a trend line on that. Let's turn to the veteran. What's Nick Ahmed's role in all this? I mean, we know he's a great fielder, but I think we also have a pretty good sense of what he is as a total player at this point too. Is he somebody that Melvin might sort of bang the table for to really lock down that side of the infielder? Is he place holding? Is he there to just provide competition? What's he really doing in the Giants camp at this point?
Great questions. I'm not sure anybody would have an answer right now. I think results will matter a little bit, not just his, but everybody else's. At the very least, and this is still a good thing, at the very least, he's depth, and very good experienced depth. If there's an injury, he's a guy who absolutely could be there and would be terrific. I think he's a guy who, if they wanted him to be their everyday shortstop, would have to show he really could hit consistently. That had been the issue the last couple of years. He's had some nice seasons. He'd need to get back to that. Great guy in the clubhouse, veteran, all that kind of stuff. I mean, just a very solid signing by the Giants for what they need in that spot. But if you're talking going and getting an everyday shortstop, you're talking about getting a two-way guy. And at this point in his career, I'm not sure if he's really a two-way shortstop. I'm not sure you're going to get a lot offensively. Look, if he has a monster spring somehow, if he gets enough time and gets enough at bats and looks good offensively, he's got a shot too. I mean, I'm definitely not discounting that at all. I think they've got enough young players that if they're staying within the system, they would love to see one of those young players get the bulk of time there. But look, again, I keep telling everybody, like, hey, you don't go out and get a Matt Chapman and then leave your pitching staff as is. I think you still have to go out and get a premier starter. I kind of feel a little bit that way about the shortstop spot. Like, if you're going out and making all these other big moves, I'm not sure that going with a sort of an unknown at shortstop is your best bet either. But they're in a division that, even if you make every single right move at every spot and spend $300 plus million, you still might finish third or fourth in this division. So It's going to be interesting to see how they approach all of these, but shortstop is as interesting a spot for them as anything, because they went from Brandon Crawford forever to I couldn't tell you who's going to be the opening day shortstop.
Yeah, hopefully Brandon doesn't put the dark arts curse on the shortstop position the way Bonds did in left field. I mean, you really put your finger on the thing that's fascinated me about this offseason is you go get Matt Chapman, you get Jorge Soler, you put the big money down on Lee, and yet there are these big giant question marks in the roster where you'd like to have some stability and some answers. It's a really fascinating experience.
They could go out and get Blake Snell, and they still could wind up being third or fourth and missing the playoffs. I mean, this is it's that would be a heck of an offseason. It's already been, I think, a very good offseason for the Giants front office. Everybody except for the Dodgers missed out on the big leagues, right? I
Right.
think coming in second to the Dodgers at this point in any offseason is not bad. And they've certainly got in some really good guys and some really interesting guys. I think Jung-Hoo Lee could be potential superstar, both on the field and off the field. If things break right, he could be the steal of the offseason for me. But there's just no, you're facing an absolute Goliath. And the Dodgers, the Padres still have all that immense amount of talent, even if despite how weird and disjointed they seem to be. And the Diamondbacks are one of the most fun teams to watch in baseball, and obviously coming off a World Series appearance, so they could have signed Ohtani and still not necessarily been the division favorites. It's that tough of a division, so they need more for me, but I don't know if more still gets it done anyway.
It is going to be a fun race. I really like what the Diamondbacks have done. I'm just going to, my final question is going to kind of look at the outfield. You mentioned Lee, who I think we're all pretty excited to see what he does. L the rest of the outfield are it's a bunch of guys who have are piling up a medical history. And one of the places where the 22 team kind of ran into trouble was we found out that they didn't have the depth behind those guys in the outfield, in the young outfielders. Obviously, Louis Matos has made a big impression early. Are you seeing a kind of level of improvement, a little level jumping from that young group, Matos, Mechler, Ramos, that they might be able to come fill in and take down significant plate appearances this year?
I think the Giants' hope is that they don't have to do that. That maybe Yaz, Slater, Conforto can all stay healthy. I think they really like the makeup of that sort of everyday outfield that they're looking at right now. But that said, I think everybody feels very positively about Louis Matos and what he's done. He looks even better. He's much bigger. That was the one thing last year. It was kind of like, well, is this just sort of a guy who's going to hit doubles? Is he, he looks like he could potentially have some power, but we just were not quite seeing it. He's put on a lot of muscle. He looks like, that difference between a ball to the track and a ball going over the wall. It looks like he might have that now, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And he's still learning in center. That's the thing. I think they really, before he's a regular in center, I think he needs a little bit more work out there. But he's another guy. They'd be very, if they had to have him out there, I think they'd be perfectly fine with it. R Ramos, I think he's, I would love to see him be a regular somewhere at some point. I'm not convinced it'll be in San Francisco, but I do think he's a big league player. Again, if he's the answer, I think he'd do just fine. Mechler is a nice piece. They've got options there, but I will tell you what they really want is those four guys that they're kind of planning on, and then Fitzgerald potentially is a guy who could kind of go back and forth between short and the outfield.
Yeah, well, my doctor keeps hoping I'm going to lose a couple pounds too, but sometimes
Yeah.
hopes don't turn out the way you would like them to.
That's what spring training's for. That's what's
That's
right.
right.
Hey, I was out at the Dodgers last night and I kept thinking, like, there's so much extreme star power in this clubhouse. And what happens if they don't make the playoffs? Like, we've certainly seen that. Like, we thought the Mets were a sure thing last year. The Padres, like you assemble that much talent, and then you flop. That's a problem, and that's a lot of pressure. Like, nothing's guaranteed. That's why we love this time of year.
I think I can get a little understanding on how Dodgers fans must feel from my 49er fan side of my brain. That's like, oh my God, why can't we just get over the top? Well, Susan, I really appreciate you taking a little time to suss things out for me. It's a fascinating team. It's a pretty exciting team, and I know we can't wait to see how all of this comes together.
Yeah, I think they're going to be fun to watch. I think people are going to love Jung-Hoo Lee, and I think they're going to be faster. I think they'll steal some more bases, and I think that, the defense will be better, which is going to help everything. There's nothing that sets a team back like a bad defense, and that affects your pitching, and it's not great to watch. I think that's going to be much better. So they've done some of the things that they really needed to most to, and I can't forecast that crazy division, but I do think the Giants are going to be like a very fun team to watch.
I mean, that's important, right? We watch this game for pleasure, for aesthetic entertainment. Giving us a good brand of baseball is in itself a reward. Obviously, you want to see wins on top of that, but a more exciting team will be a big step forward. So
Absolutely.
thanks, Susan. We will obviously follow all your coverage and your colleagues' coverage in the coming year. It promises to be a great one. And I want to thank all my listeners for joining in again. I'll be back next week with some more Giants prospect talk. And at the end of next week, I think I'll be at Papago Park bringing things from the field. So it's an exciting time of Giants baseball. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me, Susan.
Thanks so much, Roger.